Hello there, Gordon. That's right, Universe. It is time for Inquirer Sports on this kind of fall, cold morning, whatever. So hopefully you're warm and you're ready to listen to some Inquirer Sports. Our front page stories today are lesson learned. After two close calls, Bearcats cannot overlook UConn. And then also more football at the pro level. It's no secret. Stop the run game. Ravens play against the Bengals. So we've got a lot of football hidden in the sports. We've got those front page stories. And when I sifted through the back page stories, most of it seems to focus on football. So we'll get to whatever we can. And obviously in between, we'll do TV and radio. So first, let's go with the Bearcats. Lesson learned, question mark. For number 17th nationally ranked Cincinnati football, wake-up calls have recently been the norm. The Bearcats' previous two opponents, Tulsa and Eastern Carolina University, are both 0-5 this season in AAC play. But in those two victories, UC, considered the best group of five programs in the college football playoff rankings, struggled against the Golden Hurricane and Pirates in vastly different environments for vastly different reasons. And next up on the schedule, 0-5 UConn, losers of 16 straight conference games. Will the Bearcats be awake for Saturday's 3:30 afternoon kickoff at Nippert Stadium? If you don't come to play, you don't have your best. You put yourself at risk no matter who it is you're playing, said Bearcats coach Luke Fickell. Against Tulsa in a near sold-out Nippert Stadium 3 weeks ago, Cincinnati's offense had a start-and-stop feel, and the Golden Hurricane were within one score deep in the fourth quarter. Tulsa ran more plays, had more first downs, and piled up more total yards, but Cincinnati won thanks to a stout defensive performance. At ECU, in front of a sparse crowd last week, the Bearcats' defense was repeatedly burned through the air, and UC trailed by two scores in the fourth quarter. The Pirates ran more plays, had more first downs, and piled up more total yards. But Cincinnati won thanks to Ahmad Gardner's outcome-changing play and an offense that kept pace. I think it just pays a lot to the leadership we have on this team, said Bearcats senior tight end Josiah DeGuaria. If anything, it made us become closer as a team when you go through something like that. I was talking to some seniors. We've been in the situations in the past where the same exact thing has happened and we kind of just folded as a team. I think it shows a lot about the heart of our team. While four AAC teams are ranked in the top 25 and University of Central Florida is close to being the fifth, Fickell also contends the balance of the conference is exemplified in gutsy efforts by teams at the bottom of the standings like Tulsa and ECU. The records do not mean they do not have ability, Fickell said. Every week you're going to see these kinds of things in college football. It's better to learn lessons and win instead of a loss. Everyone will agree, but have the Bearcats learned? There's a lot of danger in that, Fickell acknowledged. If we don't learn and take a good hard look at how we prepared and things that we did, then we won't learn from it. We'll be in the same situation this week, probably be in the same situation the following week, and we're going to leave a lot of things to chance. What is clear? If Cincinnati wins Saturday and next week at South Florida, the Bearcats will travel to number 19th-ranked Memphis in the regular season finale, with the winner there likely to host the AAC championship in a rematch the following week. Until then, a wake-up call that turns into a stumble, though, jeopardizes Cincinnati's postseason goals. Any team can lose on any Saturday, DeGuaria said. That's college football. Everybody has a scholarship for a reason. Everyone is able to win. For us to take it one game at a time is going to be huge for us. And that's the lowdown there, and it says on the sidebar here, number 17th ranked Cincinnati football aims to remain undefeated in AAC play against UConn. Let's see, it's 3:30 this afternoon, Nippert Stadium, Cincinnati 7-1 and 4-0 in the conference, East Carolina's 2-7 and 0-5 in the conference. So, and it's on TV and radio, which we will cover in just a minute. Other front page story. It's no secret. Stop the run game. Cincinnati's gamut at Paul Brown Stadium features a classic strength versus weakness matchup. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens pose a difficult conundrum for the Bengals. Can the NFL's worst run defense stop the league's most potent rushing attack? In week 6, the Ravens answered that question emphatically to the tune of 263 rushing yards on 43 attempts. It's a challenge. We have to embrace it. They just beat an undefeated team in one of of the best teams in the league. You have to take it as a challenge, especially for me and the defense, Sean Williams told the Inquirer. Going against an offense that's putting up crazy numbers and you say, can you be the one that stops them? Can this 32nd ranked defense come out and play smash mouth football and shut out this offense? Can you do it? It's a challenge, but you've got to step up and try to do it. Jackson engineers the league's most effective rushing attack. The quarterback has amassed 637 rushing yards. Ravens starting running back Mark Ingram is not too far behind with 585 yards. Baltimore uses a lot of 12, 13, and 22 personal packages to create blocking mismatches up front. Through nine weeks, Jackson and Ingram have reaped the benefits. Expect the Bengals to use more linebacker sets and for Williams to play closer to the line of scrimmage. Additionally, the Bengals also have to be mindful of Jackson's scrambling ability. Jackson torched the Bengals with his legs when passing plays broke down in week 6. His 27 scrambles and on undesigned runs ranked fourth in the NFL. Cincinnati plans to have a quarterback spy on the field occasionally to try and keep Jackson at bay. It's going to be crucial for the Bengals' defensive line to set the edge and to keep the quarterback in front of them. No matter if it is a design runs or scrambles, if the Bengals do not improve their run defense on Sunday, it'll be loss number 9. The Ravens are going to attempt to impose their will running the football regardless of Cincinnati's defensive game plan. We just want to find a way to move the ball and score some points, Raven coach John Harbaugh said. You have to play to your strength a little bit, and we do try to do that. The Ravens' strength is obviously playing smash-mouth football, and they are doing it better than everyone else in the league. All right, and then here's a couple of other notes. Miller back. After suffering a groin injury in week 6, starting right guard John Miller is eager to get back on the field Sunday. It always sucks when you're out there and you cannot go. Unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game, Miller told the Inquirer, but I'm really excited to get back into the swing of things and go out there and fight with my teammates. Alex Redmond started at right guard while Miller was nursing his groin injury. Miller's return to the field comes at an opportune time for the Bengals because now Redmond is out with ankle and knee ailments that he suffered in London. Miller and the Bengals offense are game planning for a large dosage of blitzes on Sunday. The Ravens have blitzed on 47.7% of passing plays this season, the second highest rate in the NFL. Okay, what else is happening around the Bengals? It says Bengals star wide receiver A.J. Green ankle is officially listed as out for week 10. Green did not practice this week. Green said his surgically repaired left ankle was swollen following Wednesday's walkthrough. Prior to Wednesday's setback, there was speculation that Green would make his season debut this Sunday at Ball Brown Stadium. I just got to keep on doing my rehab and strengthening, Green explained. Once I keep strengthening it, my threshold will be higher where I can tolerate practice and work my way into a game. The wideout is day-to-day. Also, it says here, as expected, John Jerry will make his fourth start at left tackle for Cincinnati. Andre Smith is penciled in as the backup tackle. Jerry's allowed 4 sacks and 17 pressures in 303 snaps. Also, Bengals injury report, cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick joined Green and Redmond as the only Bengal players ruled out for Sunday. Left tackle Cordy Glenn, concussion, is listed as questionable. Okay, so now we'd be off the front page. That's the scoop. And so let's take a gander at TV radio, like we always do at this point, and then we'll see what else we can cover. All right, auto racing. Okay, NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying, 12:30 noon, NBC Sports Network. NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series qualifying, 2 p.m., NBC Sports Network. NASCAR Xfinity Series, the Desert Diamond Casino West Valley 200. That's at 3:30 this afternoon on NBC. Men's college basketball. Wow. Wright State at Miami University, 2 o'clock on ESPN3 and 12:30 a.m. Next we have Central Connecticut State at St. John's, 4 o'clock on Fox Sports 2. Iona at LaSalle, 4 o'clock on NBC Sports Network. Texas Oh, I may have said Texas. Texas at Purdue, 7 o'clock. FS1. They all run together. Sorry about that. Oklahoma at Minnesota, 8 p.m. Big Ten Network, and finally Rhode Island at Maryland, 9 o'clock tonight on Fox Sports One. All right, now we got about 30 college football games starting at noon. Penn State at Minnesota, 12 o'clock noon, ABC. Purdue at Northwestern, 12 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. Massachusetts at Army, 12 noon, CBS Sports Network. Vanderbilt at Florida, 12 noon, ESPN. Texas Tech at West Virginia, noon, ESPN2. East Carolina at Southern Methodist, noon on ESPNU. Maryland at Ohio State, 12 noon on Fox and 1480 AM. Baylor at Texas Christian, 12 noon on Fox Sports 1. And Western Kentucky at Arkansas, you got it, 12 noon on the SEC Network. Then we jump to 3:30 this afternoon for some games. How about we start with Southern California at Arizona State, 3:30 on ABC. Louisiana State at Alabama, 3:30 CBS. Connecticut at Cincinnati, 3:30 on CBS Sports Network and 700 AM radio. Kansas State at Texas, 3:30 on ESPN. Louisville at Miami, 3:30 ESPN2. Princeton at Dartmouth, 3:30 on ESPNU. Illinois at Michigan State, 3:30 Fox Sports 1. And then Alabama Birmingham at Southern Mississippi, 3:30 on, believe it or not, the NFL Network. Couple of 4 o'clock games. Iowa at Wisconsin, 4 o'clock on Fox. New Mexico State at Mississippi, 4 o'clock on the SEC Network. Utah at Fresno State goes at 7 tonight on the CBS Sports Network. Missouri at Georgia, 7 o'clock ESPN. And finally at 7 o'clock, we have Appalachia State at South Carolina on ESPN2. Few 7:30 games. Start with Clemson at North Carolina State, 7:30 on the ABC. Liberty at Brigham Young, 7:30 ESPNU. And Tennessee at Kentucky, 7:30 p.m. on the SEC Network and 15:30 a.m. Three more games. We've got Iowa State at Oklahoma, 8 p.m. on Fox. Wyoming at Boise State, 10:15 p.m. on ESPN. And if you're still craving some more college football, we got Nevada Reno at San Diego State, 10:30 tonight on ESPN2. College men's hockey, Minnesota at Michigan, 5 o'clock tonight on the Big Ten Network. Golf, it's all on the Golf Network. EPGA Tour, the Turkish Airlines Open, 4 a.m. this morning. Whoops, missed that on the Golf Network. We go to this afternoon, PGA Tour Champions, the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, 3:30 this afternoon on the Golf Network. LPGA Tour, the Toto Japan Classic, 9:30 tonight on the Golf Network. And then really late tonight, we have EPGA Tour, the Turkish Airlines Open, again at 3:30 a.m. tonight or Sunday morning on the Golf Network. Rodeo, we've got a rodeo event, PBR World Finals 2019, 11 p.m. tonight on the CBS Sports Network. We got about a half dozen a half dozen soccer, men's soccer, Premier League, Crystal Palace at Chelsea, 7:25 this morning, whoops, on NBC Sports Network. Bundesliga RB Leipzig at Hertha Berlin, 9:30 this morning, Fox Sports 1. Bundesliga Fortuna Dusseldorf at Schalke, 9:30 a.m. this morning on Fox Sports 2. Premier League, Sheffield United at Tottenham, 9:55, I love these odd times, 9:55 this morning on NBC Sports Network. Then we have Bundesliga Borussia Dortmund at Bayern Munich, 12:30 noon on Fox Sports 2. Final men's soccer is Premier League Arsenal at Leicester City, 12:30 noon NBC. Swimming, TYR Pro Swim Series, 6 o'clock this evening on the NBC Sports Network. Then let's do tennis. All on the Tennis Network. USTA Men's Pro Circuit, 11 a.m. this morning on the Tennis Network. ATP Next Gen Finals, 3 o'clock this afternoon on the Tennis Network. USTA Women's Pro Circuit, 5 p.m. Tennis Network. And finally, the Fed Cup, Australia versus France, 10 p.m. tonight on the Tennis Channel. That does it for everything that's listed here for on-the-air TV radio. So I'll throw a few miscellaneous things at you. Sometimes it's better to do this like at the end of the show, but why not? So college football, I guess, number one, Oh, here you go. These are the top 25 schedule. LSU, number one ranked LSU at number two, Alabama, 330. Number three ranked Ohio State versus Maryland at noon. Fourth ranked Clemson at North Carolina State, 7:30 tonight. Here's a matchup. Fifth ranked nationally Penn State at 13th ranked Minnesota. That's a good game, imagine, at noon. This is, I guess, like the top 10. So, number six, nationally ranked Florida versus Vanderbilt, noon. Number eight, Georgia versus Missouri, 7 p.m. And number 10th ranked Oklahoma versus Iowa State at 8 p.m. So that about, if you're into it, Notre Dame plays at Duke, 7:30 tonight. I'm sure that's listed. They always, I can't believe this. That's the first time I've ever seen that Notre Dame is not on television. I've just never seen that before, but there you go. So anyway, that's about it. Of course, number 17th ranked Cincinnati plays UConn this afternoon. How about we move on now to a few other articles. The one on the top of the pile is Ohio State must focus amid distraction. If you haven't heard about this, the wind seemed to be at the back of number three nationally ranked Ohio State. Everything was chill, not even a sniff of an on-the-field problem and hardly any adversity through the first eight games. How quickly things can change in college football. On Friday, Ohio State would be without preseason All-American defensive end Chase Young for Saturday's game against Maryland because of a possible NCAA issue from 2018 that the school is investigating. The standout junior, a likely top pick in the NFL draft next spring, tweeted he made a mistake by taking a loan from a, quote, family friend that has since been paid back. The suspension is not expected to hurt the third-ranked Buckeyes much against Maryland or Rutgers next weekend should Young still be out. Both are heavy underdogs against Ohio State. But Young's status is unknown with much bigger games and goals ahead, and the issue underscores the task Day spoke of this week, trying to keep his team focused, motivated, and consistent throughout a season laden with ruthless expectations. The Buckeyes enter the game against skidding Maryland at 8-0 and 6-0 in the Big Ten, ranked number one in the first college football playoff rankings that dropped this week. So there you go. There's the scoop there. This guy is a heck of a football player. If you've seen him, I mean, Ohio State just seems to get these studs at, you know, defensive and offensive line and stuff. And this guy is fantastic. So I'm sure in a close game, it would hurt the Buckeyes. So we'll see. Stay tuned there. Also, other college football headlines. Bama, LSU not downplaying showdown. If you're a college football fan, I guess this is the game of practically the season, because Alabama and LSU are ready for another number one versus number two November get-together. It took 8 years, seismic offensive shifts, and two Heisman Trophy contending quarterbacks, but they're back for another massive meeting between the nation's two top-ranked teams in the AP poll. Number one, LSU is 8-0 and 4-0 in the Southeastern Conference. Number two in the CFP meeting. Number two ranked Alabama, who's 8-0, 5-0, and number three in the CFP. Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium, just like the so-called game of the century in 2011. Well, not like, just like it, since those comparatively plodding offenses never reached the end zone, and now the Tigers and Crimson Tide have two of the nation's best. Even President Donald Trump is expected to attend. It's very exciting. One versus two. It's the best of the best, Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy said. Everybody wants to play their best game because it's one versus two. You want to go out there and show that you're the best, so there's a lot of excitement. A lot of anxiety, just ready to go out and play. The big question leading up to the game is the status of Tide quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and his surgically repaired right ankle. Coach Nick Saban has said that will be a game-time decision, but Tagovailoa has been practicing and Bama remains a 5.5-point favorite. If he's healthy, it has the makings of an epic quarterback showdown. Tagovailoa and LSU's Joe Burrow rank among the top three nationally in completion percentage and passing efficiency. Burrow is second in passing yards per game, and Tagovailoa is seventh. And this is me now just commenting. If you remember, this guy, quarterback Joe Burrow, was an Ohio State transfer. The guy who's taken LSU, he didn't think he was going to get to play enough with Ohio State, so he left. You know, it's almost like mini pro. It is mini pro or maximum pro, but that quarter, so he got, went to another place, and now he's in the headlines leading LSU. So the article goes on to say the offenses bear scant resemblance to those of the 2011 field goal festival, won 9-6 by LSU in overtime. Alabama won the rematch 21-0 in the national championship game and has not lost its SEC West rival since, an 8-game win streak. Both teams again have their sights set on SEC championships and playoff berths. LSU has polished its resume with 3 wins over top 10 teams and perhaps could overcome a loss to Tuscaloosa or the SEC championship game. Alabama has not faced anybody currently ranked and might not have that luxury. We went on the road and played a really good Texas team, played Florida and Auburn, Burrow said. So we've been challenged, and I think that's going to help us a lot this week facing the adversity we've had this year. We have a really mature team. Saban has been cautious, or maybe just coy, in public comments about his quarterback to Clovia's status. And the 2018 Heisman Trophy runner-up has missed the past 6-plus quarters since getting injured against Tennessee and had a surgical procedure on his right ankle. Mac Jones took his place. The twos worked hard to try to get back where he has been the opportunity to play, Saban said this week. He's been able to practice some. We still don't know what his status will make it when the game comes. We don't know what kind of setbacks he's going to have and how he's going to continue to progress. So there's nothing else I can really say about it. So that's the scoop there. Let's see, other stuff to give you. I'm not going to read a lot of this, but Minnesota, Penn State doing unbeaten thing too. Minnesota was supposed to be an afterthought in the Big Ten West race, but the surging Gophers might all but wrap up the division by Saturday night. 13th ranked Minnesota is 8-0 and 5-0 in the Big Ten. Enter Saturday's home showdown with number five Penn State, who's 8-0 and 5-0 with a chance to take 2-game lead in the West with 3 to play. Meanwhile, number 18th ranked Iowa, 6-2 and 3-2, travels to number 16th ranked Wisconsin, who's 6-2 and 3-2, in a battle of two preseason West favorites that are instead tied for second behind the Gophers. The losing team can essentially kiss its chances in the division goodbye, while the winner would still likely need to beat Minnesota to make it to the Indianapolis. All right, that's the scoop there. So let's take a look at some of the other stuff here. I know we have UK fans, so we'll touch on UK and University of UT, whatever. I got to read to see who it is. Still harboring bowl hopes, persevering through rough stretches this football season has helped Kentucky and Tennessee remain hopeful of becoming bowl eligible. Saturday night's rivalry meeting will put the winner one win from 6-win threshold. Both teams have momentum. The visiting Volunteers, 4-5 and 2-3 in the conference, have won 3 of their last 4. The Wildcats are 4-4 and 2-4, come out of a bye, having won 2 of their last 3. Okay, that's the scoop on that. Let's see Notre Dame. Number 15th ranked Notre Dame found a way to finally win a close game. Duke has not had much success doing that. The Fighting Irish are 6-2 and 15th ranked number 15 CFP. Visit the Blue Devils, who are 4-4 on Saturday night in a game neither team can really afford to lose. With 2 losses, Notre Dame is out of the college football playoff discussion, but a spot in the New Year's 6 bowls is very much a possibility. But for that to happen, the Irish keep winning and climbing up the selection committee's rankings. After bouncing back from a sloppy loss at Michigan with a last-minute victory over Virginia Tech, the Irish have a manageable schedule the rest of the way and shape up as favorites in each of their final 4 games. I don't know why, but it seems like if you win, it's a little quieter, Coach Brian Kelly said. We are going to continue to try to do that. Our preparation will be such that we've got our players understanding what it takes to prepare and play. It's been tougher for the Blue Devils, who have lost 2 straight and need to win 2 of their final 4 games. Next up are Syracuse, number 22 ranked Wake Forest, and resurgent Miami. They need all 3 victories for a 3rd straight bowl game. Okay, so let's see other stuff. Okay, we got some NBA and we got, high school football in the Cincinnati area. So Nauman, N-A-U-M-A-N, and is out as the head coach of Moeller football. Wow. I guess it's a big article because it's big time. If you're Moeller football, for the third time in three seasons, Moeller High School will be in the market for a new football coach as Todd Nauman has stepped down after a 2-8 season with the storied high school football program. Moeller defeated Lafayette, Kentucky, September 13th, and Canada Prep Academy in their final games November 2nd for their two victories. A year after winning the Greater Catholic League South, they lost all three matchups. The two most important things to me are faith and my family, Nauman said. There's times in a man's life when he makes a decision and has to take care of what's ultimately important. My family is right at the top of the list. I tried to make the best decision for my family and for everybody. Early Friday morning, Moeller Athletic Director Mike Osbach and Coach Nauman addressed the football troops, saying, "We are moving forward in a search mode," Osbach said. "We don't have any time frame connected to that. We'll search for a permanent replacement for Coach Nauman, and when we have that person in place, we'll make that announcement." A previous search that resulted in the selection of Doug Rosfeld in 2017 had more than 70 applicants. But when Rosfeld moved on, Nauman was a quick hire due to the timing and his familiarity with the students and program. Nauman was named Moeller's seventh head coach on March 26th, so his tenure lasted 227 days. He previously was assistant head coach on the staff of Doug Rosfeld, who resigned after a 6-5 season to join Zach Taylor's staff with the Bengals. Rosfeld had replaced John Roddenberg, who stepped aside after the 2017 season. Both Roddenberg and Nauman stepped aside after difficult runs. So I'm just reading this to see. It's like, I guess even at the college level, wow, if you have one bad season, you're gone, huh? I remember the day when you probably taught physical education and they gave you, made you the football coach for life, right? But not anymore, not if you're a Moeller. So how about one other sport, NBA. LAC fined over talk of Leonard's health. Out of Los Angeles, the NBA fined the Los Angeles Clippers $50,000 for statements made by coach Doc Rivers and others that were, quote, inconsistent about Kawhi Leonard's health. Leonard sat out a 129-124 home loss to the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday night, the second time he's missed the nationally televised front end of a back-to-back this season. He had 27 points and 13 rebounds in a nationally televised 107-101 win over Portland on Thursday night. "I'm disappointed. He's my coach and I'm on his side," Leonard said of the fine. "I'm not a doctor, but we're going to do what's best for me to be healthy so I can play basketball games. I cannot read too much into it." The NBA initially confirmed the Clippers were compliant with league rules in resting Leonard because of a knee injury. It was what Rivers said before the game that in part triggered the fine. "He feels great," Rivers said Wednesday, "but he feels great because of what we've been doing, and we're just going to continue to do it. There's no concern here." Okay, well, that, and so let's see. If you follow the NBA, it's also here. Hornets. Kemba Walker says he holds no ill feelings toward Michael Jordan, even though the Hornets owner and six-time NBA champion decided not to keep him in Charlotte by paying him a $221 million Supermax contract. Wow. "In fact, Walker only has love for Jordan. MJ is always going to be a special guy in my life," Walker said Thursday night after his return to Charlotte as a member of the Boston Celtics. "He's one of the reasons I am where I am today." Jordan drafted Walker with the ninth pick in the 2011 NBA draft, and Walker took it from there. He beat out DJ Augustin for the starting point guard spot and flourished into a three-time All-Star despite being undersized. He's listed as 6 foot for his position. Along the way, he became tight with Jordan, and the two still talk regularly. Although Walker said they didn't have a chance to catch up Thursday, he said he feels like he can talk with Jordan anytime. "He gave me the opportunity to flourish as a basketball player," Walker said. "He gave me the opportunity to grow as a man in this community. So MJ definitely has a special place in my heart for sure." Walker scored 14 points and had 6 assists as the Celtics beat the Hornets for their 6th straight victory. All right, that's a lot of football and a few other things on this Cincinnati Choir Sports on this Saturday morning. And this is Jim Nunn wishing everybody a delightful sports weekend. Thank you.